Greetings. Greetings, my dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And today's recording date is Sunday, September the 25th, 2011. This is the Mind of God program on thinkaboutit.org. And on the Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb up out of the mind of the wicked. To climb up out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families, those that create warfare and bloodshed, the synagogue of Satan, the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. We want to extinguish that mentality. And as we do so, we will find ourselves climbing up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Allah, the mind of Yahuwah, the mind of Yahweh, the mind of Jehovah, the mind of Amun-Ra, the mind of Ptah. We will find ourselves also breaking down all the barriers that separate us. Barriers of race, religion, national origin, gender, all of the ethnicity, all of these barriers, denomination, will be broken down. And we will find ourselves coming together as the oppressed. This is not about Christianity against Islam, against Hebrew, against Rastafari, against Buddhism or Hinduism. This is the oppressed against the oppressor and the Most High. And Jesus, in the power of the Most High, comes to give salvation to the oppressed all over the earth, and warning and judgment to the oppressor. So we are ready, willing, and able to organize together for freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. And we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, or revolutionary organization and institution that is of like mind. My wonderful, beautiful sister Venice is my helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator of this website. I thank the Most High for that beautiful sister Venice, and I pray that the Most High continues to bless her, bless her children, her family, and her endeavors. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. Now, let us give thanks and praises unto the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. We give praises unto the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, the Almighty Father Creator is known as Ab. That's the word for Father in the African Hebrew language, Ab. If you put that together with Yahweh, you say Yahweh Ab for the Father in the African Hebrew language. In the African Arabic language, the Father is known as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, the Almighty Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. In, we also give praises to our wonderful, beautiful Mother, the Almighty Creatress, Holy Spirit, the Almighty Mother and Creatress. She, Mother Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word, wisdom, in the African Hebrew language that you see in your scripture, 99% of the time, is chokmah. That is a feminine word because Mother Holy Spirit is feminine and wisdom is one of her titles. Wisdom is a title of Mother Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew, chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that our beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Only the mother conceives. The Father begats and the mother conceives. Holy Spirit is our mother. Holy Spirit, Mother Holy Spirit, is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, our mother as well. Mother of creation, mother of the universe, mother of sun, moon, stars, and planets, as father is father of the same. In the African Hebrew language, the title and name of Mother Holy Spirit are Ruach HaKadosh. And the word Ruach, found under the number 7307, on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, that word is feminine, referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name of Mother Holy Spirit is Ella. And Ella is also an African Hebrew word. It is feminine. In Islam, it is feminine. And you hear, usually we say, Ashadu Illa Ilaha Il Allah, but there's another phrase that our Islamic sisters and brothers say. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now, you hear Bis, and then you hear Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. They translate that in the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. But that's Illa in that phrase, not Allah, the Father, but Illa is in that phrase, Bismillah, not Bismillah, but Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And Rahman Ar-Rahim are two words whose root, the root of those two words is a word in Arabic that has to do with the womb of the mother. Because Illa represents the womb in the Godhead. So Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, beneficent and merciful, are characteristics that are seen most through the feminine, the female, the womb. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, we say Great Mother and Grandmother. So I greet you, my sisters and brothers, of the human family, the Uhuru family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the Black African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. Believe it or not, but we know the truth that Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty. Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say, I and I say, Jah Rastafari, Haile I, Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon, the United States of North America Empire, Rome, Britain, modern day Babylon. This is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested within your, my, our personalities, thereby making all of our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days Christ would come, Christ would manifest. The second coming of Christ is here and now. Look all over the earth. Look at the sisters and brothers all over the earth rising up and standing against the oppressor, standing against oppression. Look at the sisters and brothers of Libya, many of them African, meaning dark-skinned Africans, standing up with Gaddafi and saying no to NATO and no to the rebels and no to Al-Qaeda and no to the United States of North America and no to Italy and no to France, no to the International Monetary Fund. That whole situation is yet up in the air. But the Obama administration is backing the Antichrist forces of the United Nations, of NATO, of the International Monetary Fund. But the sisters and brothers are fighting back. Those loyal to Gaddafi, many of them dark-skinned, are fighting back. That's Christ's second coming. Look in other places in Africa. Rumbling going on. Look in the Middle East. Look in Europe. Sisters and brothers in Britain rising up. That's the second coming of Christ in your midst. Look in New York, on Wall Street, sisters and brothers who may not be totally organized in thought are yet coming together with the idea that we need to put the attention on Wall Street and the wickedness of the bankers. That's Christ come again. That's the manifestation of Christ in this time. So I are they in that I, in Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari. We are divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine universe, this divine creation, in this divine house that we call our physical bodies, on this divine planet that we call Earth. We are the I and I. The first I is yourself, united with the Creator, Creatress, and in unison with the whole of creation. The second I denotes the human family outside of yourself, in unison with the same. And so this day is the day of Christ. This day is the day that we rise up and stand up and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We are yet in the book of Revelation. We are yet looking at current affairs, current issues. Revelation coming from the word apokalypsos in the Greek, apokalyptos, the same as the English. Revelation means to see the system for what it is and remove that which causes us to not see clearly as it concerns this wicked system. See the truth about this wicked system. See that we are to come together and stand together and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. See how we are to organize and overcome all the barriers. That is our job. That is the mission of Jesus Christ. Jesus means justice. Jesus means deliverance. Christ means that spirit to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And so, Revelation chapter 2, I believe we're at verse 13. And this part of Revelation, we are in the midst of these seven letters from the revolutionary African apostle John, writing these seven letters to the seven churches in Asia or Mesopotamia who were facing imminent warfare and destruction coming from Rome, coming from the Roman Empire, coming from the Caesars, Nero and other Caesars. So the revolutionary apostle John writes these seven letters to the seven churches in Asia so that they may see the system for what it is and what it was. See the Roman Empire for what it is and what it was. Apostle John giving you the words of Jesus Christ, because every word out of Jesus Christ's mouth was against Rome, against Caesar, against colonialism, against slavery. So John picks up on that consciousness of Christ and begins to show the seven churches of Asia how they're to organize, how they're to see the system for what it is, and how they're to reject the mentality of Caesar and the Roman Empire and the Roman elites and the Jewish elites, meaning the scribes and the Pharisees, the Herodians, and so on. These wicked ones who did the wicked bidding of wicked Caesar and the Roman Empire. And so, those seven letters also show black people, the black church, because we are the descendants of the original church, because those were African people. We are descendants of the original African Hebrew Israelite nation who made up the first church. So the first church was led by African people, black people. And these were revolutionaries. And these offered freedom, justice, and equality, not to just black, not to just African, but to Asians and to Middle Easterners in general, and also to European sisters and brothers, wherever there were oppressed, wherever there were sisters and brothers suffering from oppression. The original Christian church, which was African people, offered Christianity, which originally is a revolution of the spirit, mind, body, and soul against colonization, against slavery. And we offered freedom, justice, and equality on every level, including economic, including political, including taking back of our land, wealth, and resources, including the acquiring of knowledge and wisdom and understanding everything under the sun. We were here to fight the oppressor with the sword. What sword? The tongue. And the word of God coming from the tongue is sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what we offered the whole world. And we are they who taught these principles all over the earth. And this is what the revolutionary Apostle John is giving us in the book of Revelation. And so when we read these seven letters, we are looking at seven aspects of the black church. On one hand, some of us are doing well. On the other hand, some of us are not doing well. On the one hand, we stood up for justice and equality during the civil and human rights and black power movements and struggle, all the way coming from slavery in the United States of North America, coming from slavery in Haiti, coming from slavery in Central and South America, coming through the uprisings in the Underground Railroad and the rumblings in Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner were preachers who saw in the Bible revolution, saw in the Bible to stand up for the oppressed and stand against the oppressor. And so there's an aspect of the black church that has always stood up for justice. Look at Reverend Jeremiah Wright. But then there's another aspect of the black church. Dr. King had a real fight with black churches that were located in the north. I heard this from Reverend Jeremiah Wright not long ago. So not all black churches were with Dr. King. Not all black churches were with Malcolm X. Not all black churches were with the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, but some were. And so on the one hand, black churches did well for standing up for justice. But on the other hand, black churches didn't do well, those that did not stand for justice. So we can see in these seven letters, seven characteristics, seven attributes of the black church, and not just the black church, but the church in general. Those churches who organize around freedom, justice, and equality, no matter whether you are predominantly Caucasian, predominantly Asian, predominantly Middle Eastern, and extend from Christianity, go to Islam, and go to Hebrew, whatever religious faith, Hindu, Buddhist, if you are standing up for justice, there's an aspect in these letters for you. If you're not standing up for justice, then Jesus has a critique for you and us, and we're to repent for not standing for justice, or Jesus will come to us quickly and fight us and make sure that either we stand for justice or we won't stand at all. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13. Let's start in on that. I know thy works and where thou dwellest. Jesus is talking to the Pergamos church. That word Pergamos means elevated. So we who call ourselves believers, whether Christian, Islam, Hebrew, Jew, Hindu, Buddhist, we are elevated to stand up for justice. We are elevated to stand up for Christ, which is that spirit to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. With the sword. What sword? The tongue. What in the tongue? The word of God. Why? Because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So Jesus says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And we talked about how in that day it was the Roman Empire. In that day it was Caesar. In that day it was the Jewish elites, Judaism elites. Samaria, Judea, that's what I'm looking for. Those in Judea, Israel was split from the north to the south. The north of Israel was called Israel, the south was called Judah, and eventually was called Judea. You also had Samaria up in there in the middle, if I have it correctly. So those in Judea and Jerusalem were given power by Rome and Caesar to rule that region. And so the seat of Satan, being Rome and being Caesar, had come down into Judea and had set up the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians. And these elites were set up by Rome, by Satan's seat, to make sure that Satan's seat prospered, to make sure that the Roman Empire prospered, to make sure that Caesar, Nero, and whatever other Caesar there was, Caesar, Augustus, Caligula, whatever those, track the names of those Caesars. That's the seat of Satan. And they set up the scribes, the Pharisees, the Jewish elites, the Judean elites, to make sure that Satan's seat prospered to the detriment of the masses of the people. So Jesus is saying, I know where the seat of Satan is. He's talking about Rome. He's talking about the Roman Empire. He's talking about the Roman elites, the oligarchs and the plutocrats. He's talking about Caesar. Now today, Satan's seat is the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the 1%, 2% ruling class, Wall Street, the bankers, the corporate elites. And these heads of state, heads of governments, are punking out and selling out the masses of the people and doing the bidding of the seat of Satan, the synagogue of Satan. These wicked ones who create warfare and bloodshed all over the earth and squeeze the poor in Europe and squeeze the poor in the United States of North America. Jesus says, hold fast my name, and thou holdest fast my name and has not denied my faith even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So Jesus is saying to Pergamos that you've done well by holding fast to my name. What's my name? Jesus Christ is talking. Jesus Christ, Yahshua Mashiach is talking. What is the meaning of the name Jesus? It means deliverance, liberty. Who needs to be delivered? Who needs liberty? Those who have been destroyed by the Roman Empire and those who have been destroyed by the United States of North America, Britain, and Roman Empire today. Those who have been destroyed by the imposter nation state of Israel. The impoverished all over the earth need deliverance, need liberty. Other meanings, definitions of Jesus. I got to pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, September the 25th, 2011. Health is another meaning. Wealth is another definition. The vengeance of our God upon the wicked ruling class and ruling families who have taken the wealth, who have taken the land, who have taken the resources through warfare, bloodshed, wicked austerity programs that attack those programs that are the safety net for the poor. That's what it means when that's what Jesus' name means. So when you stand up and preach revolution, when you preach deliverance to the poor, when you preach that the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed need to be delivered from the oppressor. That word Christ, that's a title. But it means that spirit to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. That's what Jesus is talking about. Pergamos was standing up for revolution. Pergamos was standing up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed in the teeth of the Roman Empire, standing up against Caesar every night, every day, standing up and speaking the truth to the people that the people may know and understand that wicked system coming from the Roman Empire and Caesar. Not denied my faith. That faith that is the power that gives us the strength to stand up against the oppressor. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. It's this fella named Antipas was a faithful martyr who was slain. Rome, Caesar, killed this man. And the persecution of the original church is the persecution of African people. Black people, African people were the first to die in the persecution of the original church during that time of Caesar and the Roman Empire. So this fella Antipas, I don't know whether he was African or black or not. In this case, that doesn't matter. But this man Antipas was one who stood up for justice, stood up for revolution, stood up for the oppressed, and he was killed by Rome. Whether he was European or whether he was African, because you had Africans with European names, it doesn't matter. This fella Antipas was faithful to Jesus, faithful to justice, faithful to the oppressed, and Rome and Caesar killed him and slew him and made him a martyr. Now this man, Antipas, I want to go into some definitions. Antipas is 493 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. And it means like the Father. Antipas means like the Father. Who is the Father? Well, you could say Jesus is the father of the church. You could say Moses is the father of the Hebrew nation. You could say Abraham is the father of the three major faiths, Hebrew, Christianity, Islam. But the Almighty Father, the Most High Father, along with the Most High Mother, but the Most High Father, let's be like the Most High Father. The Most High Father, Amen, loves the Most High Mother, Aminet. So we who are married, we should love our wives like the Most High Father loves Mama Holy Spirit. The Most High Father provides the whole universe for all of the human family and all of creation. So we should be like the Most High Father and provide for those that are under our charge. The Most High Father gave the word to all of the prophets and gave the word to Jesus, Yahshua, that that word may be used to destroy Satan, destroy the oppressor or the power of the oppressor, destroy oppression, destroy colonialism, slavery, exploitation. Let's be like the Most High Father. Let's use the word of God to fight the oppressor. The tongue is like a sword, and the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Let's use the word from the Most High Father that was instrumental in the creation. Without the word from the Most High Father and the Most High Mother bringing forth that word through her womb, there would be no creation. So we are the womb that the word from the Most High Father comes into, so that we may be inspired to stand up for the oppressed. So Antipas is like the Father. He stood up against oppression. He stood up against the oppressor. He was faithful. This word faithful, let me look up this word right quick. 4103 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Pestos or pistos, to be trusty. So Antipas was trusty. The Most High Father was able to trust Antipas. Jesus, Yahshua, was able to trust Antipas. Pergamos, that elevated church, elevated to stand up for the oppressed. They were able to trust Antipas. Faithful. Persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business. What is the business? Christianity. The business of revolution. The business of defending and delivering the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. That's the business we're talking about. The execution of commands. The command is to stand up for the oppressed. The command is to work with the oppressed. The command is to fight the oppressor every day with the word of God. Antipas was faithful. Or the discharge of official duties. What is your official duty as a Christian? To fight corruption wherever you find it, whether it's in our own hearts, whether it's in our households, whether it's in our neighborhoods, cities, states, counties, nation, the world. We're to fight corruption wherever we find corruption. And impoverishment is corruption. To create warfare and bloodshed, that is corruption. That is sin. Many of us want to use the word sin as a cop-out. It's sinful to create a system that creates poverty and impoverishment and theft of land, wealth, and resources, and warfare and bloodshed. That's a sin. Wherever we find sin, fight it. Root it out. Wherever we find corruption, fight it and root it out. One, worthy of trust, believing and confiding. They were able to confide in Antipas, this great, wonderful brother. And by brother, I mean brother in the faith of the revolution. Don't care his color. Don't care whether he was European or African. This man, brother Antipas, was a great man and a wonderful man. The word martyr. This man was martyred. Murdered, you can say. My brain is saying the man was murdered. Let me see. Let's continue on the theme. Being faithful. Faithful to Jesus. Faithful that Jesus was raised from the dead. We have to be faithful to this concept, to this idea. But many of us do not understand the deep implications of of the phrase Jesus raised from the dead? Is it just the flesh, or is it deeper than the flesh? The reality of the resurrection of Jesus is found in the name Jesus. What was really resurrected from the dead? It was not only the flesh, but it was justice. It was liberty. It was the return of health and wealth back to the oppressed. These principles, the vengeance of our God on the ruling class and ruling families. You see, Rome tried to kill justice and liberty and deliverance of the oppressed. Rome tried to kill the idea of returning health and wealth back to the people. Rome tried to kill the idea of vengeance of our God, the Most High Father and Mother, on the wicked ruling class. These are what was resurrected. Also, Christ. The word Christ, coming from the African Hebrew Messiah or Messiah, is that spirit to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from and out of the hands of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Today, those wicked ones are the House of Rothschild, the Oppenheimers, who run the whole earth, run the whole system, create warfare, bloodshed, destroy people on every side, fund and finance all wars for the benefit of themselves, to destroy the human family. But we have the spirit to deliver ourselves and deliver the oppressed from such wickedness. That's what was killed, and that's what was resurrected. Jesus is the author of salvation. What does salvation mean? When you look up the word salvation in the African Hebrew language from the Old Testament, it comes out to Yeshua. Let me go to some of my notes. When you look at salvation in the Old Testament and research that word, it comes out to salvation. And it is Yeshua or Yahushua, 3091. Yahushua, Yehovah saves. Salvation, 3:4:4. Hebrew, Yeshua, something saved. See, all of these are words derived from Yeshua or Yahushua. 3:4:4 is Yeshua, something saved. Deliverance, aid, victory, prosperity, health, and welfare. You see, the masses of the people have been deprived of this. 3:4:6:7 is Yasha, means free, safe, avenge, deliver, help, preserve, and rescue. The poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed are in need of us to understand this about Jesus, understand this about Yeshua, and let us work together so that we may bring this about. 3:4:6:8 is Yesha, liberty, prosperity, and safety. Who is it on the planet that is most in need of those attributes and definitions of Yeshua? It's the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Jesus is the author of all of this. All of these definitions are wrapped up in his name. And if you're not preaching this, if you're not preaching salvation for the oppressed and warning to the oppressor, I'm sorry to say, and I'm not too sorry to say, that you're not preaching the Jesus that this Bible is talking about. Now, martyr. Antipas was martyred because he understood all of this. And all of this understanding, knowledge, and wisdom drove Antipas to heed the call to fight the oppressor with the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Antipas worked day and night to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And he was martyred. He was murdered by Rome. Murdered by the Caesars, murdered by the Roman Empire, murdered by the Roman elites. That word martyr, 3:1:4:4, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Did I hit it already? Martyr, yeah, I hit it already. 3:1:4:4, it means to witness. And Antipas was a witness of the true nature, essence, power, and preaching of Jesus. Witness in a legal sense. He was a Christian, a true Christian, so he would not have been true legally to the call of Christianity if he did not stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. A witness in an historical sense. History teaches us that those original Christians stood up against the oppressor and stood up against oppression. This is why Antipas was martyred, one who is a spectator of anything, especially of a contest. And we are in a contest. We are in a war, a spiritual war with the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the wicked ruling class and families, Wall Street, the bankers, the corporate elites, the Wall Street oligarchs and the corporate plutocrats, and those wicked puppets who are in the positions of heads of state, prime ministers and presidents, heads of financial, governmental and educational institutions who have sold us out, who are doing the bidding of the wicked 1%, 2% synagogue of Satan. So we are in a contest and we are in a fight every day, every second. When I dream, I fight this wicked devil. When I wake, I fight this wicked devil. When I'm doing anything in the day, I'm ultimately thinking about how to fight the oppressor with the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so because Antipas understood all of this, he was martyred. He was murdered. He served as an example, and he proved the strength of his faith. Antipas did, in Christ, by undergoing a violent death. Antipas worked night and day to deliver the oppressed, and he, because he proved his faith, because Antipas proved his strength and the genuineness of his faith in Christ, which is to deliver the oppressed and fight the oppressor, because he proved to Rome that he would not bend and bow and scrape and sell out the people, then Rome killed him, made him a martyr. Rome murdered Antipas, that man who was like the Father. And so we look today, sisters and brothers, we look at Toussaint Louverture. We look at Jean-Jacques Dessalines, who were faithful martyrs in Haiti. They didn't sell out, and the powers of France killed them. And that was after France was defeated by the Haitian Revolution. But over time, these two men were killed by France. They were martyred. We look at Simon Bolivar. I don't recall whether he physically was killed, but Spain killed his character and tried to smear him and turn his people against him. But Simon Bolivar was faithful. He wasn't perfect, but he was faithful. Marcus Garvey, Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Noble Drew Ali, David Walker, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Fannie Lou Hamer, Phyllis Wheatley, Mary McLeod Bethune, these, and Dr. King, Elijah Muhammad, Mega Evers, Fred Hampton, Mark Clark, Bunchy Carter. Some of them were killed physically, but all of them suffered the killing and assassination of their character. And these, one way or the other, were all martyrs in this time, because Satan's seat is yet in Rome. It is in Britain. It is in the United States of North America Empire, the seat of Satan. Coming through the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, coming through the wicked Wall Street oligarchs and corporate elite plutocrats, coming through wicked heads of state, heads of governmental and financial and educational institutions, that wicked one, Satan, coming through the synagogue of Satan today, influencing all of these wicked powers to create warfare and bloodshed. That's where the seat of Satan is today. And these that I named, and many that I did not name, many unknown people, the deacons for self-defense, those sisters and those black girls in, was it Alabama or Mississippi? I think it might have been Alabama, who were in church. I'm gonna research that when I come back from the break. I'll make sure that I have that correct. But those four black girls that were bombed in their church in Sunday school, they were faithful martyrs. Those that suffered the terrorism and terrorist practices and acts of the United States of government of North America, coming through the CIA, the FBI, the Ku Klux Klan, those that suffered at the hands of such wicked ones, All of them were martyrs, and all of them were faithful. Huey P. Newton and others who suffered. These are our modern day martyrs who were slain, who were killed in the seat where Satan dwelleth. The Empire of the United States of North America, Rome, Britain, Empire, the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, and we are thankful to know that our sisters and brothers who led the way, paved the way, are the faithful martyrs for these days and times, and we want to follow their example. We're not wishing suicide and death for ourselves, but we have to be faithful to Christ or get up off of it. We're taking our first break. I will see you on the other side of the break.